Welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, where we show you how to remove all the debt in your life and how to continue living a debt-free life. No big secret to what we do. What we teach is all contained in the Bible. In fact, that's the workbook in our 9-week study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. You can see for yourself. Go to compasscatholic.org. Click on Books and Studies and preview Navigating Your Finances God's Way. John and Evelyn Bean, who are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, join me today. And hard to believe, here it is, a brand new year. You should have been reviewing your 2017 financial plan by now. And you found areas where you can improve in, areas where you are right on track budget-wise. And now you should be updating your plan for 2018. And this is the time that you want to build on strengths and get a handle on those weak areas. Right, John?
That's absolutely true. I'm listening out there, and you know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing people telling us, but I haven't done that yet.
I haven't done a 2017 plan. How can I review it?
2017 yet.
Not only have I not reviewed it, but I don't have one.
Yeah, well, that could be true. You know, I was afraid that a few people might be saying that. But, you know, if you haven't reviewed 2017, and more importantly, if you don't have a plan for 2018 yet, this show is for you. And just so you know, creating a plan is definitely scriptural. Did you know that, Evelyn?
Of course I did.
Well, of course you did. Where's that in the Bible?
It's in Luke 14:28, which says, "Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion?" So that verse can be interpreted as meaning we need to make a plan whenever we're doing anything, right?
And absolutely. And just to be sure that you know where you're coming from, don't forget what Proverbs 23:4 says. And it is, "Do not wear yourself out to gain wealth. Cease to be worried about it."
So we're not recommending having a plan so people can get rich, because that's not our intent.
That's correct.
We're recommending that they have a plan and manage their money and possessions according to Scripture, so that they can be good stewards.
Absolutely. You hit the nail right on the head, Evelyn. You know, we can never forget that Psalm 24:1 says that the world and all that is in it belongs to the Lord. The earth and all who live on it are His. We are God's people.
And we need to manage the possessions and the money He's given us according to His plan.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about first things first.
How
do we review what happened in 2017? Like, what are the steps to review what happened last year?
The first thing you want to do is take a look at your budget. How did that turn out? How did that work for you? You know, if you're using a budgeting app or an electronic spreadsheet, that should be really pretty easy. You just run a report for the full year, January to December, by category. And then you just review each one of the categories individually. Did you meet your annual budget? That's one of the good things about having an annual budget, because you break it down into 12-month periods. In any particular month, you might be high or you might be low.
On that particular category.
For that particular category, for that particular month. But when you look at it over a 12-month period, it'll really give you a pretty good picture of how you're truly spending money in that specific category.
And that's for things that maybe don't come due every month, or for things that fluctuate from month to month, like your electricity.
It's everything. Yeah.
Your electricity bill is going to fluctuate. Your groceries are going to fluctuate.
Yep.
So you're just trying to get a basic understanding of what the year looked like.
You have to take a look at each category then. Did you spend more money than you budgeted over the 12 months? So let's make it easy. For category XYZ, you budgeted $100 a month. But in fact, during the course of the year, instead of spending $1,200, 100 times 12, you spent $1,400.
So that means you were over budget.
You were over budget by $200. So you need to analyze, why was I over budget by $200? Is it like electricity and I don't have any control, and the electric company raised the rates, and you know that you don't have a lot of control over that? So you need to take that into account and maybe increase your budget in that category for the coming year.
The important thing is, if every budget slips just a little bit and you're overspending in every budget just a little bit, then you're overspending a lot when you add everything together.
Absolutely.
And that's what people don't sometimes think about.
They don't.
It's a little bit here and there that adds up to a lot, but they never look at the total picture.
Yeah. They'll think of each individual item and say, oh, it's just a little bit. This is just a little bit. This is just a little bit.
Yeah.
And a little bit turns into Miss Big, Big, Big.
Big bits.
Yeah, Miss Big Bit.
Well, the other thing that looking at each category from a an annual perspective does is it gives you indications of trouble areas. Like if you're consistently overspending on food, you really need to buckle down and find out what's going on there.
Exactly, yes.
But this is something you're tracking each month. You don't wait till the end of the year.
Correct. You should be looking at it each month, but it's good to go back and look at it at the end of the year so you can set the total budget for the next year.
Yeah, because you want to take... You now have 12 months worth of great statistical information to make a decision from. And you want to use every piece of that information to make a good decision for how you're going to spend in 2018.
Especially if 2017 was the first year you had a budget, because it's a learning process. You get better the more you use it.
Exactly. So you're taking a look at each of your categories, looking to see if you, how you did your spending. But then you want to take a look at your other goals too. I know you set some other goals, right? So you should take a look and say, well, I accomplished every goal that I set, or, well, I got two of them, but all the rest of them are laying in a bucket someplace and I'm just carrying them around.
So those goals could be something like saving for retirement or putting money aside for the kids' college or...
Yeah, it could be pretty much anything, you know, financial or personal or whatever. If you're doing a financial plan for the first time, I'm sure that you're going to have an awful lot of questions about what to include and how to create the plan. And I thought that one of the things that we ought to do today is take a look at questions that, if this is the first time you're creating a budget, you should be asking. And if you already have a budget, you should be thinking about these questions. And as we go through them, thinking, well, what is my answer? How did I phrase that question? And how did I answer that question with the statistics that I have from 2017. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay.
So let's start.
The first thing is that you've got to realize where you want to end up. If you don't know where you want to go, then having a plan is really pretty useless, pretty meaningless. It's like you're going to go take a trip, but you don't know where you're going to go, so you're just going to get in the car and drive. Most people aren't going to do that. They're going to have a destination in mind. Maybe they've got an old-fashioned paper map that they're looking at, and they're going to take Route 40 and then Highway 10 and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Or they're going to plug their destination into a GPS system, which is what most people would do today. Then they would follow that route. Well, this is what you have to do with your financial plan. It's exactly the same thing. Without having a specific place to go, you can go anywhere, even in circles, and you will accomplish your goal.
So the important thing is to begin with the end in mind. Know where you want to go, what you
Absolutely.
Want to accomplish.
Absolutely. On our website, compasscatholic.org, and from our Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way, we give you a map to true financial freedom. And it is truly a map. It allows you to understand where you want to be.
To reach true financial freedom.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it also gives you short-term and medium-term and long-term objectives so that you can get to where you want to be, which is truly financially free.
Yes. Yes.
So let's get back to the question.
All right.
What are these questions I ask myself about my planning now?
Well, the first one probably is going to be, well, how much money do I have now?
You mean like checking, savings, retirement
yeah.
funds?
You know, what's the liquid money that you have for daily use?
Okay.
And then you're going to take a look at short-term savings, money that you're going to use to accomplish goals maybe towards the end of the year or maybe over the next couple of years. Then you've got midterm savings objectives, stuff that you might want to do in 5 to 10 years. And this is a good place to be thinking about, well, my roof is already 10 years old and I'm going to have to replace it in probably 5 to 10 years.
In Florida.
Well.
Might last a little longer up north.
Yeah.
Depending on how much snow there is.
So I need to start saving money for that. Or it's been 8 years since we painted a house, so it's going to need to get painted again pretty soon. So we need to start saving for that. So think in 5 to 10 year steps, necessary expenditures or objectives that you want to accomplish. And then the other thing is, you want to be thinking about, well, how much rate of return can I earn on these midterm, on this midterm money, you know, to accomplish these midterm objectives? So am I going to be able to earn 1% because I've got it in a bank CD? You know, if I got it in mutual funds, that's unacceptable for something that's 5 to 10 years. A mutual fund is an acceptable vehicle to use. So what's my rate of return going to be? And then the last step that you want to be considering is long-term savings. What rate of return do you expect for these savings, and what are your long-term goals? Education, starting a business, retiring someday. You've got the short-term, mid-term, long-term. And then where's your income coming from? Is it going to increase? Will it increase this year or next year? What do you have to do to increase your earning? You know, that's something that you might want to think about. And then the other thing you might want to think about is, how much money do you want to have when you retire? And that's a great thing to be thinking about. Even now, you know, you're 30 years old or you're 35 years old, how much is it going to take? And what are your current average monthly expenses each month? What's your burn rate every month? And do you anticipate that your current monthly expenses are going to increase? So, Evelyn, for the first 10 or 15 years we were married, we really didn't have a financial plan, but we were just kind of flying by the seat of our pants. And then once we took the Bible study, we really sat down and created a short-term plan to get out of debt. When we come back, I want you to think about how you felt about that when that happened.
Just a reminder, this is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching you what the Bible tells us are the best practices for handling money. And we do this through a 9-week study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. Not only will we show you how to reduce your debt, but also live a debt-free life. You can see the details by going to compasscatholic.org. Click on Books and Studies. The first one that pops up will be Navigating Your Finances God's Way. Well, today we are focusing in on getting you prepared for your budget plan for 2018. And John and Evelyn, who are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, join me today. And Evelyn, a few minutes ago, John had asked you a question about the time when the two of you were struggling financially. What were you going through personally?
You know, Steve, at that point in time, we had been dancing around the subject of our finances. And when we decided to sit down and make a plan together and really work on our finances together, it gave me a great deal of comfort because I knew that we were going to be on the same page. And we really had not been, like many, many couples, we really had not been on the same page about finances in our marriage up till that point. So it was a great deal of comfort that we were finally sitting down and deciding together what to do and how to handle things.
Okay. So now we've got the short-term plan, and that's going to get you through, you know, the next 12 months and stuff. But what about developing a midterm plan and a long-term plan? You know, there's a lot of benefit to doing that. And once you have a good, solid plan, you know, you'll be able to use it almost forever. We developed our current long-term plan back in 2002 and 2003. And we're still using that plan today. We tweak it every year. You know, just because we had a plan doesn't mean it's in concrete and you can't ever change it. You can tweak it, but, you know, it's still basically the same. And I've already reviewed the long-term plan based on what happened last year. And I know that we're right on target to where we expect to be.
Okay, here's a question I want to throw out. I have no plan. How long does a short-term plan last?
Well,
is it 6 months, a year, 5 years?
I think it can last. You can set a series of short terms, like quarter plans, you know, as you start to get started, or maybe 6 months or a year. I think a typical short-term plan would be a year, maybe 2 years, depending on your situation. But it could be shorter than that.
But your yearly plan has to consist of a bunch of monthly plans, because you can't say you want to save $5,000 for
the year
without saving a certain amount of money every month. Mm-hmm. So every long-term plan, no matter how long it is, consists of a series of short-term steps.
But you don't move on to the midterm or the long-term until you accomplish your goals for the short-term. Because some people like to procrastinate. It's like New Year's resolutions. They say by February, something 45% of the people have ended the New Year's resolution.
I heard a guy on the radio that never started his resolution because he broke it when he was thinking about it.
My kind of guy.
But, you know, John was talking about the compass map, and that is a great way to start because it gives you those steps you need to tackle first, like getting your emergency fund and getting your debt, your short-term debt paid off, and start being generous. So the compass map is a great place to start if you're a procrastinator, because it gives you those first steps, and it goes out over a number of years.
And it's a great visual.
It's a real good visual.
Put that thing on your refrigerator.
Check off the little places you have done, and it's a great way to stay on track.
You know, once you have a short-term plan, to answer your question, Steve, you go immediately right into your midterm and long-term plans, because you get that short-term developed, and then you just build on that for 3 to 5 years midterm, or 5 to 10 years midterm, and then long-term. It all builds off each other. You know, it should be interacting.
It's like a snowball.
Yeah.
It takes you from where you are to where you want to be.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, the more you do it, the easier it becomes. So it might be a little tedious at first to track all your money and to really manage it as well as we manage ours. But once you start doing it, it almost becomes second nature, and it gets easier and easier and easier the longer you do it.
Yes, yes.
And it provides more and more information to you.
We were just having a conversation before we came into the studio today with a fella who talked about he hated keeping track of every single penny, and he quit doing it. And finally his wife says, look, if we really manage our pennies well and we do a good job of setting our budget, et cetera, you know, all that tracking of every penny means that we're going to have more money to give down the road. And that totally changed his perspective and outlook on why he was tracking. And I thought that was just a great example of why you might want to do some of this stuff.
And that's a good point, because if you're doing it to make your spouse happy or because you feel like you have to, it's not going to work. You have to be motivated within yourself to make it happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's talk about tracking every penny. Every penny, right?
Every penny. That means write it down.
Put it in an app or a software program.
But it has to be recorded. Write it down isn't the right wording.
Yes.
Record it. However you're going to do that, okay? And after you've done that for at least 60 to 90 days, recorded every single penny, start putting all those expenses into categories. Things like housing costs, transportation costs, food costs, which would include groceries and eating out, medical costs, savings, clothing, education, personal expenses, stuff that you do for entertainment or vacations, and don't forget debt repayment needs to be in there. And guess what? Now you have the first stages of having a budget for this year. You just have to keep tracking your expenses and recording them. And each month you're going to be able to tweak and refine your budget just a little bit more, because now you've got another 30 days worth of data that will help you make good, smart decisions.
And if you used a budget last year and tracked all of your expenses, then it would be easy for you to answer all those questions we asked at the beginning of the show. and you're good to go for this year's budget, because once you have a yearly budget, you just need to understand what the changes are from year to year. You don't have to start from scratch every year.
The other thing is, even the questions, you need to write your answers down, because in 6 months from now, the way you think about that question could be entirely different than the way you think about it today without having all the data that you're going to have in 6 months. And so your perspective could change, and you know, you want to be able to go backwards and see where you were. Well, why did I say that? And this is where we are now. So I think if we do this and this, it's the right way to go.
We'll meet our goal.
Yeah. But at least now you've got a starting point. Now, if you don't have an app, or if you're not comfortable using spreadsheets, it doesn't make any difference. Find a plan that you're comfortable with and that you find easy to use.
And that could be something like a note card for every category with just the expenses written down on it, or a notebook with every page having a different category. There's any number of ways, but you're right, John. You have to find a way that's easy for you to use and something that's going to be usable for you.
Yeah, because if it's not easy for you to use, you're not going to keep it up. 6 weeks from now, your budget is a dead doornail.
And everybody's different, so everybody's got different ways of using things that meet their needs.
You know, Evelyn, part of good planning is not always relying on your own means. And Sirach 32:19 tells us, do nothing without counsel, and then you will have no regrets. And Proverbs 15:22 says, get all the advice you can, and you will succeed. Without it, you will fail.
So we're not saying to go out and tell your neighbors and friends what your budget is. We're saying that you can ask them for suggestions on how they track their money, or apps they've used, or software programs they've purchased. So that's a good place to get advice on what's worked for other people and the pros and cons of the different methods.
And then you can modify that for your use, so you could throw it all out, or you know, whatever. But you'll be just a little bit wiser for seeking that counsel.
John, how can you monitor your overall financial health? If you think you're in really good shape, how do you prove you're in really good shape or do a diagnostic to find out that you're not in good shape?
Well, you know, the most basic way to calculate your financial health is to take a look at what your net worth is over, specific times each year.
So okay? Like every quarter or something.
Yeah, yeah. And so what is a net worth calculation? Well, the first piece of that is you take your assets. That's everything you own. And you subtract all of your debt. And that all is in capital letters. All of your debt. And that equals your net worth. The value, your assets is the value of everything that you possess. And the value means not what you paid for it 10 years ago, but what you could sell it for today.
So that's things like the house, the car, technology gear, the boat, the clothes, the furniture.
Exactly.
All that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Okay, and then what are our debts?
And the debt is all your credit cards, your bank loans, your mortgage loans, HELOCs, car loans, school loans, loans from Uncle Fred, anybody you owe money to.
So you subtract your debts from your assets, and that gives you how much you're worth, right?
That gives you your net worth. And it's best if it's positive and not negative, because if it's negative, that means you have more debt than you have assets.
You owe more than you have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's not something you want to do every month, but maybe once or twice a year or once a quarter, that's a good thing. And hopefully you're going to be able to see your assets grow and your debts decrease. And that means that your net worth will be increasing.
So I would imagine one of the best ways to make that net worth increase is to get debt paid off.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you really can't have a successful financial plan unless you are working to reduce your debt as fast as possible. In previous discussions, we've talked about the significant amount of debt that encumbers most households. You know, $10,000 to $15,000 of credit card debt, $30,000 in auto loans, $130,000 in mortgages. You know, the faster that you can reduce your debt, the better your financial plan is going to look.
So we have provided you with some ideas about developing a financial plan that'll help you find your way not only to having a sound budget for this year, but also a plan for your future so that you can obtain true financial freedom in years to come.
You know, having a plan is definitely scriptural. And if you create your plan, keeping the scriptures as the basis for each step that you take, you will ultimately achieve success. The Lord tells us in Psalm 32:8, I will teach you the way you should go. I will instruct you and advise you.
And I would suggest if you're looking for some ideas about how to manage your money God's way, download a free copy of Your Money Counts from the Compass Catholic website in the ebook section.
That's a great idea, Evelyn. And remember, it's not about the money.
It's about the change.
The change of your heart.
So if you're just beginning to put together a financial plan or a budget, we have several free money management tools available for you. Go to compasscatholic.org, where we have a number of tools, example being free financial calculators. I believe we have 28 that are absolutely free to you to use on the website, compasscatholic.org. Just click on resources on the top navigational bar, and you'll find not only the calculators, but you'll also find free financial spreadsheets that you can customize for your situation. We'd like to thank you so much for listening. And if you missed any of today's show, it's available along with the show summary. Just click on Compass on the Radio found on the homepage. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries.